Welcome to another edition of the Health First Show. I'm your host, Dave Fuller, and today we're going to be talking with Heather Crosby. She's the author of a book called Yum Universe, and it's talking about plant-based whole food, and it's actually the lifestyle around that. In the second half of the show, we're going to be talking with Dr. Kate Rayon-Blue about colds and flus and how to prevent them this winter. But before we do that, here's Rich with the health news.
Breast cancer patients who experience pain and swelling related to their treatment may find relief in acupuncture and exercise, new research suggests. In one study, acupuncture helped reduce joint pain by up to 40%, according to the study's author, adding it didn't matter if people thought it would work or not. While other studies have found acupuncture is effective for a variety of symptoms, including joint pain, fatigue, and sleeping difficulties, this new study wanted to see the role a person's expectations of the treatment would have. 41 breast cancer survivors were studied, assigning them to a sham acupuncture group or to an electroacupuncture group, and compared them to a control group that got neither treatment. Those in the real acupuncture group had a consistent level of pain reduction, while in the sham group, if there was a low expectation, no change in pain was reported. The study is published in the November issue of the Journal of National Cancer Institute Monographs. In the same journal, University of Pennsylvania researchers looked at how a community-based exercise program could help women affected by lymphedema, muscle problems, and decreased body image that can occur after breast cancer. In all, 67 breast cancer patients completed measurements of the effects after a year. These participants had improvements in symptoms, body image, and muscular strength. The results in the community setting were similar to those found in a research setting. However, the researchers did note issues that were encountered in getting the program operational, including payments, the need for advocates, and how to get patients referred so it would be covered by insurance. A new report reveals laundry detergent pods seriously sickened more than 700 U.S. children and killed at least one in a recent two-year period. Researchers also found poison control centers across the country logged more than 17,000 calls about children exposed to the convenient laundry aids during the same period. The report authors analyzed statistics from U.S. poison control centers from 2012 and 13. They found 17,230 reports of kids younger than 6 who were injured by laundry pods, mostly by ingesting them. Children under 3 account for about 3/4 of the cases, and 8% had what the researchers called a moderate or major medical issue as a result. The report appears online and in the December issue of the journal Pediatrics. And finally, consuming plenty of whole grains, fish, veggies, dark chocolate, nuts, and seeds can help lower your risk of developing diabetes. Published in the journal Diabetes Care, the study was part of the Framingham Heart Study, a project launched in 1948 aimed at understanding the circumstances surrounding cardiovascular disease, the leading cause of death and serious illness in the U.S. More than 5,000 men and women between the ages of 30 and 62 from the town of Framingham, Massachusetts, were recruited to participate in the first round of extensive physical examination and lifestyle interviews, even when accounting for the health benefits of fiber, which are often found in magnesium-rich foods, the same results held true. Magnesium appeared to be primarily responsible for preventing diabetes in those that are at high risk for disease.
Thanks for that, Reg. Well, our first guest, Heather Crosby, is a plant-based wellness coach. She's written a book called Yum Universe, and you were actually the two-time winner of the Canadian 50K Ultramarathon Championship.
I wish I was, but that I'm not.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks.
Tell us a little bit about... that wasn't you that was wrote the foreword. That was Brendan Brazier, wasn't it?
Yes, that's Brendan Brazier who wrote the foreword. Oh. He's definitely the one who did all of that stuff.
I'm just looking at that now, and I'm thinking, oh, no way you said
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he gets the credit for that.
Oh, he can run the marathons.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about your background and why you got interested in plant-based foods and how they've made a difference in your life.
Okay. Well, I started out as a complete veggie phobe. I never really ate vegetables my entire life and didn't even eat my first salad till I was 19. And, you know, I got sick because of that. If you're not really eating food, you're going to get sick. And so I started having some issues and was going to the doctors and having all the scary tests. And no one was ever really able to tell me what was going on And it was really frustrating because I wanted to know why I was feeling the way that I was. And finally, one of the final tests that I had, I was told that I would have to be on medication for the rest of my life. And I just couldn't believe that. I figured that I'd have to turn the ship around myself. So that's what I did. I started doing some research, and everything that I was finding was pointing towards eating more plant-based foods and just getting some real food into my diet. So I started trying that out, which wasn't easy because vegetables just weren't my thing, but I figured out how to trick myself into eating more vegetables. I started out with smoothies because I figured if you blended it, I could drink it down really quickly and just get that nutrition in. And I started to feel better. I started to have results, and that's the best motivation there is. So I just kept going with it. And the more research I did, yes, my reasons for going to plant-based were for health first, but then the more research I did, I was learning about the animal welfare and environmental realities that are a part of the choice I was making as well. So that kind of reinforces it.
Heather, I want to ask you, you know, if you didn't eat your first salad until you were 19, what did you eat?
A lot of stuff out of boxes and cans and a lot of white processed food, a lot of sugar, a lot of bread, lots of eggs and animal products. And I just didn't have the palate for it. I was raised on a lot of processed comfort food and sugar. And, That's what my palate wanted. It's not what my body wanted, but that's what my palate wanted.
So what did you notice when you started to have salad smoothies?
The first thing I noticed, I used to take a lot of naps, and I didn't need to take naps anymore. I started to have more energy, and I also was running a lot at the time, and achy joints and achy knees, and it was going away. And then also a lot of the symptoms that I was struggling with from the diseases I was told that I had were also starting to diminish as well. So, yeah, it was incredible. It was just such a motivator to keep going to see how much my body could heal.
What diseases did the doctors tell you that you would have to be on medication for all your life?
Yeah, at first it started out with irritable bowel syndrome, and they didn't really tell me anything I could do about it. They said to just continue on with, you know, they don't know why I'm suffering from what I'm suffering from. And then it manifested into something years later called interstitial cystitis, and that's the scary one that they said I would have to come into the doctor's office once a week for and then take meds forever. And I just knew that there was a reason why I was feeling the way I was, and if I could just treat the cause instead of the symptoms, that I'd be better off in the long run.
I want to ask you, what brought you to that realization that there was something that you could be doing yourself about it? Because, you know, it's an interesting point where you know, you must have had something in the back of your mind telling you that you knew that you were doing something wrong in your diet, did you?
Mm-hmm. Or that there's something that was wrong. Mm. I've always had a real healthy questioning of authority, my poor parents, but like, I've always questioned authority, and I just felt like the way that I was being talked to, it didn't really seem like the medical professionals were connecting with me in particular. They just were very quick to write a prescription, and that made me very suspicious. And I guess there was just an instinct that there had to be a reason for this, because when all of these issues started, I was in my early 20s, and it just didn't make sense that I would be as sick as I was. I just didn't believe it. And I've always been the type to always go out and figure things out on my own anyway, so this was just another one of those adventures to go on, I guess.
So after you've changed your diet and you followed, the plan that you outline in your book, mm-hmm. Did your irritable bowel go away as well? Like, did all these symptoms go away?
Absolutely. I mean, everything has completely changed. The only time I ever have any symptoms, I've done something that I shouldn't have. Like, I've had maybe a little too much alcohol over the holidays, or I've eaten some sugar, or I'm really stressed out. Those are the things that will trip symptoms for me. But now I know how to reverse them. Food is really powerful. It really can heal, and so can reducing your stress in your life.
Oh, so. For sure. I'm going to get into your book a little bit further, but sure. But there's a certain percentage of the population that has irritable bowel syndrome. That mm-hmm. What is it like to have irritable bowel syndrome? And then tell us what it's like to not have it.
Oh, well, either your system is working or it's not. And for me, it wasn't. And when you're eating food and your body's not processing it all the way, you swell and you have a lot of pain and you have headaches. And when this all started for me, I actually had a lot of issues with vomiting and, you know, there was some blood involved and then passing out and very sick in the middle of the night. It was really scary for me. I know that it's different for everyone how that disease manifests. For me, a lot of it was a lot of swelling and just really uncomfortable. And now everything's working great, like it's supposed to.
Yeah. So, you know, you started experimenting with the foods. Did you, mm-hmm. You know, you became a vegetarian.
Yes.
And you started eating a lot of raw foods. How long did it take before your stomach really healed up?
How long was it? I would say that I started to notice within about 4 weeks. It was really amazing. And like I said, I was not into vegetables, so it had to start working quickly for me to be able to stick with it, and it did. Even within a couple weeks, I was noticing that I was feeling a little bit better, enough to keep going. And it's a lifelong process. Like, you get to a certain point in your life where you need to make health changes, and you have bad habits all the way up to that point, and you have to learn how to change them, and it's not going to happen overnight. Like, I talk about it a lot in the book, but this is a journey that I'm on for the rest of my life. It's going to continue to get better. I'm going to continue to learn more and more. But in the very beginning, it happened in about a month for me.
I just want to ask you, so what brought you to the point where you wanted to write a book?
Well, I started the website, yumuniverse.com, about almost six years ago. And I started the site because I wanted to share all the recipes I was coming up with. Because while I wasn't raised on the healthiest food, it was really tasty. Mm-hmm. And I wanted that kind of rich, comforting food. And when I started to make these changes, there wasn't really a whole lot of recipes that were available. And if they were, they weren't really looking good to me, and they didn't taste that good. So I just started to create my own recipes. I used to be a graphic designer and a branding expert, and I just think that tackling recipes is a lot like the creative process. Mm-hmm. It's really fun to take the ingredients and play around with them. So, yeah, I just created these recipes, and I started to have a whole bunch of them, created the site, and then after about 400-some recipes, I just figured that the next step would be to take everything that I've shared online and put it in a book, because I had a lot of the people in the community asking for a print book. So I just decided that it was time.
We're talking with Heather Crosby. She's the author of Yum Universe. We're going to take a quick break, and when we're going to come back, we're going to find out more about how you can really feel better with food.